Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Tony Colombo, here with my producer Chad Ellis and my partner Bo Matthews. How's everyone doing, Bo? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I am well, Chad.
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
How about yourself?
I can't complain. Thank you for asking.
No more.
Did you have a good four?
No more fender benders. You're
no
okay?
More fender benders. All no right, more great. Accidents. So far, I am okay. I did have a good fourth. How about you guys? Down there in Jeffco, I've been to many, many 4th of Julys in Jefferson County, and it's a pretty good time. Were you guys putting on a show?
I don't have to. I don't have to spend a dollar because
my neighbors
take care of all of it.
Right.
Yeah, no, they take care of all of it. So
yeah,
I got all my digits too. Did you blow off fireworks yourself?
Not this year. We didn't. We were at the lake and got to watch a show down there at the Lake of the Ozarks.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. It is so funny to see people, you know, these guys that have done well, you know, they've got a vacation home like yourself, Tony, and they are just kids at heart, and they just spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on private fireworks and do the thing. And yeah. I'm the guy that comes to watch.
Yeah, there's this guy in our cove at the Lake of the Ozarks that just does it every year, and everybody has gotten used to knowing that he's going to do it. So there's like boats that line up in the cove and people are all out on their decks. And this guy that nobody knows, you know, he's not like, it's not a public thing. It's just a house, but he does it every year and we've all gotten used to it. So,
wow.
Yeah. And it's a pretty impressive show that he puts on every year.
So. Now, does the Lake of the Ozarks actually do a show as well? Or do they just rely on the citizens?
Some of the resorts do. So the lake itself does not, but, you know, like Tantara Resort does one, and there's, you know, a couple of the other places down there, the resorts, and they do. So there's not an official lake one, but
it's fun to watch. I actually interviewed for my own radio show. I did an interview with Springfield Fireworks. If you can think of Springdale Pool, used to be a place of 141 and 21. I went over, met the owner. He's got three stands, and he said this year's sales was through the roof, and it's got to be because we're all going crazy, you know, sitting in our houses and not getting out.
Well, and it's because people have been setting off fireworks for 4 weeks now, at least, every night.
Oh, at least.
As well as there's no city gathering where there was one at the complex. But
the Powerplex,
The Powerplex.
But you're right, but a lot of the standard places that were doing fireworks shows didn't do it this year.
So I know one guy, he spends like $10,000 on fireworks every year. And it's just like, dude, if you don't pop all those tonight, I'm calling the police tomorrow.
Right.
I don't want to hear
this.
Oh,
no. In our neighborhood, we celebrate, you know, March 14th. We celebrate September 14th. It doesn't matter. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, boom.
Yeah.
I mean, just shake your innards.
It started on June 1st, I think, in our neighborhood, and it was every night.
Yeah, it's like at this point, I'm just content with hearing fireworks into August
because you're used to it, right?
At this point, because
my
problem is
my dogs and one of my kids has really bad like thunderstorm, loud noise, anxiety, and so it's like every night the dogs and my one daughter are just like, please make it stop.
Yeah, my dog get weird. I got a toy poodle, so he definitely got a little weird, like shaking and stuff. It's like, oh my goodness, it makes you feel like
coming
a bad. Pet owner.
Come on, man.
I remember coming home one time from a 4th of July at a VP fair or whatever, and I couldn't find my dog in my house anywhere, and I looked everywhere, and I couldn't, my neighbors obviously were blowing off fireworks, and I finally found him in the bathtub. I was so sad for him.
Hey, he knew where to go.
Yeah.
Right?
He hunkered down. He knew the safest place to be. So we've got
a tornado.
Yeah. We've got a great show for you lined up today. We are going to, I'm going to work backwards. So at the end of the show, we are going to talk to State Rep Nick Schroer, been on the show many times, big advocate for Second Amendment rights, and just want to check in with him because of all of the things happening in the government right now. I mean, there's just so many stories happening, throughout the state of Missouri, and of course, also our friends in Illinois. And a lot of new laws, a lot of new rules. And I think that Nick Schroer is the right guy to fill us in on some of those details and also let us know, you know, some of the things that they plan on working on as we, you know, get ready for next year's legislative session. After what a crazy year this has been, I wonder what they have on the table. I wonder what, you know, things they're going to be discussing, issues and possible bills and laws they'll be discussing. So we'll get into that with Nick Schroer a little bit later on. We're also going to talk to our buddy Jason Nelson about a great show coming up next Thursday, which is July 16th, I think, out at O'Day Park in O'Fallon, Missouri. He is going to be playing a show with the Queen Tribute Band, Somebody to Love, and I am going to be there emceeing the show. Our buddy Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet is going to be sponsoring the show, and it's going to be a really good time. So we're going to talk to Jason about that. Coming up in just a few minutes, when we take this first break, when we get back, we're going to talk to Wade Comiskey. Wade is the guy that you saw in the news and in the paper this week that caught the 118-pound catfish in the Mississippi River last week. And what is so cool, talk about the reach of Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. What's so cool is before that story even hit the news cycle, if anybody saw Wade's original post on either Twitter or Instagram, right when he caught the fish and he put it on social media, he tagged some people in it. And one of the people that he tagged was Bluff City Outdoors, one of the great sponsors of Second Amendment Radio.
Wow.
And because he is from that area and he knows Mark, our buddy, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, he shops there all the time. He may have caught that catfish using gear that he got from Bluff City. So he tagged a bunch of people, or, you know, three or four people in this tweet about, you know, thanks to this person and that person for all the, you know, the help that they've given me and blah, blah, blah. And there was Bluff City Outdoors. So I actually got a call from Mark before it even hit the news.
Wow.
And he said, I don't know if you saw this tweet or not. You know, we were tagged in it. That's how he knew. He was alerted to it because, you know, his shop was tagged in the social media post. And he told me about it, and then not much longer, it was everywhere. And so we had already started to make the connection. I was like, well, we got to get him on the show. We got to talk to him about landing this 118-pound catfish.
And Chad got him.
Yes, and we got him.
What was amazing to me was they showed the hook. It was like nothing special about it. It was like, this guy is a fisher.
Yeah, right.
It was nothing special about it. It was just like, okay.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be like a hook the size of your head or something that would bring that thing in. But yeah, that's pretty
honestly
awesome.
The first time, because I saw it, must have been within 24 hours of the picture being posted. I saw it. My first reaction, because we're all sucked into, you know, different things on social media, I immediately said, "Photoshopped, totally photoshopped," and it wasn't. It wasn't.
But
you want to make it special. If it would have been noodling that size of a catfish, now that would have been a story.
No, you'd have to noodle with your body.
Whole body.
You'd have to noodle with your head and shoulders to get that to get that kind of catfish. That is amazing, though. And then, you know, it's a fish of a lifetime, 118-pound catfish, amazing story. But what would it be like to catch a fish that big and not set a record?
Yeah,
it was like 12 pounds short of the Missouri state record,
or 1 pound.
No,
yeah, like I know, right? It's like, come on, how do you catch a fish that big and it not be a record? But it is. Yeah. The pictures are amazing. I'm sure the story is amazing, and we're going to talk to Wade about it. We're going to have him walk us through it, exactly what it was like, what it was like fighting that thing, getting it in. What did he use? All that stuff.
So, we know that fish is not going to get caught for the Catfish Classics. We know that.
I don't know. He put it back. He put it back.
Did he really?
Yeah, he put it back.
I thought we were eating catfish fillets for weeks.
No, he put it back.
Wow.
Yeah, so it could be caught for the big Catfish Classic coming up in September.
Hold on.
Or he could have taken it home and put it in a tank and then brought it in and then checked it in at the tournament in September.
The mind of Tony Colombo right there. So if it really was catch release, every time I've caught a catfish of any size, normal, arm length size, a foot long or 18 inches long, it's always swallowed the dang hook. How did this fish not swallow the hook?
So we'll talk to, maybe I'm wrong. It's my understanding that he put it back. I'm almost positive that is the case.
Yeah, because he showed the hook.
Yeah.
Like he had it in his palm, the palm of his hand.
Right. So we'll talk to him here in just a minute, and we'll cool. confirm whether he did put it back or not. I believe I'm nearly positive that he put it back in the river.
No so, catching it eating.
Yeah, which is rare when it yeah. comes with no especially yeah. to catfish. You know
what's the slogan? No catching grease. It's catch and release.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is gonna be a really fun discussion with Wade. What's the biggest fish, Bo, you've ever caught?
Oh well, it's got to be in my own pond because I've got these grass carp.
Used
that have been
have.
There a hunt. No. I've got the grass carp. I just don't have the catfish.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the grass carp ate the catfish. I don't know. But that's an ongoing storyline, but it's true. The biggest fish I ever caught was.
No, it's not ongoing. We solved it. Yeah. Chad.
What are you doing out here?
Yes. Chad.
It's my pond.
As Chad just said, we solved it. It's not an ongoing story. It's not a mystery. Somebody.
All the shelves of tartar sauce were empty for the last several months, so maybe that's it.
Anyway, you don't want to believe it, but somebody cleaned you out.
So I still have the grass carp, and the grass carp are literally as long as my leg. I mean, we're talking three and a half feet long.
Yeah,
and they're just like submarines when they come up to get the catfish food that I put out there. They're amazing. I've always caught it and released them because I've always heard they're a nasty fish.
Yeah.
But if you dress it out right, I guess it is good. I've always heard it's bony, and I talked about this one other time, and somebody called me and said, "Oh, actually, no, they're really good. What you do is you take that that grass carp, you put it on a cedar board, put it in your oven at 450 degrees for 1 hour, and then after the timer goes off." You pull it out, you throw away the fish, and you eat the board. So I didn't go for that. I didn't do that. But yeah, that's probably the biggest fish. How about you?
The biggest fish I would have ever caught would have to be a catfish. I don't usually fish for catfish, so I don't. When I catch one, it's usually I'm just either having some fun playing around at night, if throwing a line in the water at after dark or something, or by accident, so I've never weighed any of the catfish that I've caught, but I would guess maybe 15 or 20 pound catfish is probably the biggest fish that I've ever caught.
Way better than me. Way better than me.
Yeah. I never, but that's never what I fish for. So I'm never, I'd rather catch a 6 pound bass than a 20 pound catfish any day of the week.
Oh yeah.
How much fishing have you done in your life, Chad? Or not too much?
I did a lot of fishing when I was younger because we used to go to the Lake of the Ozarks every year.
Oh, okay.
And then we went to some resort that had bluegills in a pond. So
yeah.
We used to fish that all the time.
Right.
That is something I never would expect somebody to eat is a bluegill because it's so small. But
right.
They ate it.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is for a little bit. But here recently, I haven't been fishing here recently, but I have had a lot of friends like, let's go fishing. Let's try something different.
Let's
and
do
I'm
it.
Like, let's go.
Let's all go.
Let's go. Yeah. So I have a friend now. He goes once a week. I haven't ventured out because like you go on the weekend. I work the weekend.
Right.
It's not going to work. So
what you're saying
to do during the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you're saying is your Snoopy pole is getting a lot of dust on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've owned my own fishing pole since like a Hot Wheels fishing pole I got from Walmart like years ago.
My son's right now is
a Spider-Man pole. Go ahead.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the Popeil pocket fisherman?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The expanding expanding rod.
Those, yeah, the telescoping.
I thought those things were awesome.
Yeah.
You don't see
them
anymore.
There's another one that they have now. That they talk about being the pocket version. I don't know. I don't think they call it the pocket fisherman. I'm sure that was trademarked by Popeil back in the day. But that whole like small and easy to carry and easy to transport, and it's no longer than like a foot, and you need the longer pole to generate the cast, the whip, to get, you know, so it's like, well, that how far could you really cast a little? And it has like a launcher in it. It like you push a button and it shoots it. Yeah, and it shoots it. I don't know. It's not for me. It's a little too. It's a little too gimmicky for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know how well that would work. I don't know how
well
you could
it.
Control it. I mean, I can throw my. You know, I like to control my cast. You know, and land it exactly where I want it to go. So I don't know about pushing the button and shooting it.
They've got a. They've got a Stealth Angel mini portable fishing rod for $9.95.
There you go.
I just found it online.
I'm
so it's like a pocket
that's
pen.
Not great. Right.
I'm thinking. No.
I bet you also that's not what Wade caught the catfish on.
Oh, no.
Let's find
Ronco.
Out. Yo, go ahead.
No, okay, so Popeil Pocket Fisherman is what I remember.
Yeah.
And Ronco Pocket Fisherman is also a thing. So it's kind of on the same
isn't
vein.
Isn't Ronco? That's the same thing. Ronco and Ron Popeil, that's his company. It's Ronco.
Oh, it is?
I'm pretty sure that's the same thing. We'll do some, we'll look into it at the break. And we'll come back with the answers. And when we get back, we are going to talk to Wade Kaminsky about landing this 118-pound catfish in the Mississippi River last week. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, Chad Ellis, and Bo Matthews here. In just a moment, we are going to talk to, as we mentioned in that last segment, Wade Kaminsky, the gentleman who caught the 118-pound catfish in the Mississippi River. Really excited to talk to Wade about that. Of course, anytime we're talking about fishing here on Second Amendment Radio, it's brought to you by our buddies at Bluff City Outdoors. Bluff City Outdoors there in Alton, Illinois. They specialize in big catfish gear. That's why they were tagged in the social media post that Wade put out. Can't wait to talk to Wade about his connection with Mark and our friends there at Bluff City as well. And, of course, Bluff City, as I mentioned, specialize in that big catfish gear, rods, reels, hook weights. They also carry a huge selection of crappie and bass lures. I'm a bass fisherman, and I have a lot of my tackle box filled with stuff that I bought at Bluff City. So go over there and check them out at 2813 East Broadway in Alton or on the web at bluffcityoutdoors.com. Also want to mention that that first segment, our buddy Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, usually joins us in that first segment. He was unavailable this week, but I do need to remind you that Southern Armory is open and ready for you. Take care of all of your gun needs, your ammo needs. Go to Facebook, Southern Armory on Facebook. It's a great place to get information about them. Also watch Aaron's videos about cleaning guns or building guns. And, of course, SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
Yeah, I'm sure Aaron is out saving a life or fighting for freedom somewhere, and that's why he was unable to join us today. But Aaron will be back with us next week, so make sure you check that out. All right, let's go ahead and get Wade into the conversation right now. Wade Kaminsky joins us on the line to talk to us about this this fish of a lifetime. Wade, thanks for your time today, man. How's it going?
It's doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. You bet. So I mentioned in that first segment that you have a connection with one of our great sponsors and a friend of mine, Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. I just was talking about them. I think you probably heard it. Before we dive in, could you just tell me about how do you know Mark and what's your connection there to Bluff City?
Sure, yeah. Mark and I have been friends for a number of years. I've been on his Catfish Pro staff for about the last 3 years and trying to help promote his local tournament trail and now the Alton Catfish Classic.
Yeah. So here, I got to cut you off right there. Yeah, I got to cut you off right there, Wade, because I was one of the, I was there at the Catfish Classic last year. I was one of the announcers. Why didn't you take that fish and put it in a pool somewhere and wait until September and then check that baby in?
Oh, no, can't do that.
Right. I understand. But yeah, you said Catfish Pro. What does that mean? What is that a service that they offer there at Bluff City? I know that they do like guided catfish tours. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm just one of the people that help promote Bluff City Outdoors and, you know, everything that they sell over there. You know, tag them in social media posts. And
so like a brand ambassador.
Yeah.
Yes, gotcha. Like a brand ambassador, exactly.
There you go. Good stuff. All right, so I'm sure we'll cut you off with questions as you go through the story, but just walk us through it. Was it just were you just going out for a regular, you know, afternoon on the water? Let's go have a fun day fishing, and then this just happened? Like, walk us through it. How'd it go?
Well, we were actually looking for different waters that may be overlooked during tournaments, waters that don't get fished really heavy from the local catfish guides or some of the other local catfishermen in our area. So we went out Friday morning, got on the water, started scanning around, looking for a particular type of structure. And once we found that, we set out to start drift fishing. And about 20 minutes into that is when it all started. It's when this whole story started.
That's amazing. So, what type of bait were you using? What did you see? Like, when did you realize there was something here? Like, how was it a complete surprise? Like, how did that initial beginning go?
So we were using skipjack herring, which is a local bait fish that we can get here on the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. We were using it as cut bait, and we were bumping bottom, which is a style of drift fishing where we're bumping the bait on the bottom of the river behind the boat, and that way you're able to cover some water. Your bait can go up and down through the structure of the bottom of the river. And as we were going along, I instantly felt something that my bait and my hook got into. And I looked at my good friend Jake Gerhockey, and I said, well, I've either got a monster or I'm snagged. And I started to reel down, and that's when we both knew that I had a really big fish on the line.
Wow, that's amazing. And was your equipment enough to handle it? Obviously, you got it in, but did you feel you were unequipped with enough, line strength?
That's a good question.
No, I use a specific rod for this. It's called a Warrior Cat bumping rod. I've got a reel with a lot of drag to it, and I was using 80-pound braided line and 80-pound monofilament leader. So I knew that the gear being used was more than up for the task.
Wow, I've never even heard of it. Jeez. Yeah. I'm going to cut to the chase, Tony. I can't wait.
Do it.
No, the question that we had in the last segment was, there's a rumor that you actually released this fish back into the river. Is that true?
It is, absolutely.
Wow.
I told you, Bo. I told you.
I couldn't believe, was that your plan all along, or was it because you found out it wasn't quite the world record for this area?
That's the plan all along. We release all fish over 10 pounds. We want to see these fish grow. Yeah. We want these big fish out there spawning every year with, you know, those big fish in the gene pool. You know, hopefully we're going to keep creating more and more big fish, so we have other opportunities. Other generations have the same opportunities that we have to enjoy the same thing that we do right now.
So, Wade, I know there's no way to know this for sure, but just your opinion, being an expert fishing in that area, you know, knowing the Mississippi River like you do, do you think that is like that's one fish that's every 100 miles, that's this very unique thing, this creature that's under there? Or do you think that there's a lot of 100-pound plus fish, even in our area, that, you know, they're just not easy to catch or easy to spot, but there's actually more out there than people would think?
I know that every year somebody in our area catches one that in the 100-pound class.
Yeah.
So that's a fact that we know. I would say that there's probably more out there than is caught every year. But, you know, routinely we do find 50, 60, 70, 80-pound fish. Not as routinely do we find the fish bigger than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Bo.
You know, I'm looking at the picture of the hook in your hand. And so I grew up in Minnesota where we caught bullheads, which is very similar to a catfish. And every time I've even caught a catfish around here, it's always swallowed the hook. Like, you know, so you're destroying the fish when you're trying to get your hook back out. Can you tell us about that part of it, about getting that hook back out? Or was that a picture before the fish was caught?
So that was a picture of after. That is an Eagle Claw 8-aught hook. That's about the same size and style hook that most guys use around here. The good part about the circle hook, that style of hook, is that most of the time the fish gets caught in the corner of the mouth. And that right there gives you a good opportunity for that catch and release.
There you go.
The fish lives.
I'm learning so much on this show this week. My goodness.
We're talking to Wade Kaminsky about catching the 118-pound catfish in the Mississippi River. Tell us about what type of catfish was it, and talk to us about the fight. How long did it take to get it in the boat?
Sure. So that's a blue catfish. It's probably the largest of the three species that found here in Missouri. From the time that we first realized that the fish was on until we had him in the net was right around 8 minutes. As I said earlier, we were drifting, so we weren't on anchor. We were able to get above the fish almost right away. And then the only fight was to get the fish from the bottom of the river back up and into the net. So I'd reel him up, he'd take some line and go back down. I'd reel him up and take some line and go back down. And all while this is happening, Jake is seeing this on the fish finder.
Oh, wow.
Did he get video of that by any chance?
No video. I wish we did.
That's pretty freaking cool. That's pretty cool. And then how do you get that thing in the boat? I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I'm a bass fisherman, and you know, if sometimes, you know, you need the net. It's always great to yell at your partner that you need the net, because you know that means something's good is happening. But you're not gonna net 118. There's no net that you could get around that guy. How do you get a fish like that in the boat?
So
just manhandle it.
We do have a net that's that big.
Really? Okay.
It's about 5 foot in depth, and the diameter of the hook, the hoop is almost 4 feet around. So,
man, all right.
Jake was able to scoop that fish up into the net, and he held it right there at the side of the boat. I got the live well filled up, got the oxygen turned on, and then we both had to lift it and get it into the boat, and then lift it and put it down in the live well.
Okay, once again, being the owner of a Ranger bass boat that has two live wells on it, that thing would almost lay across my entire boat, let alone fit in a live well. You got a swimming pool as a live well on that boat? I mean, again, everything that you're saying is probably really common for cat fishermen, and they're probably like, yeah, duh, of course they've got a giant net that you could put a freaking car in and a swimming pool on the back of the boat that you can put 118-pound catfish in. So forgive my ignorance, but that's just crazy to me that you have a live well on that boat that you can put 120-pound fish in.
Yeah, the live well is 100 gallons. There's two fill pumps that can fill at 1,600 gallons an hour. And then we have a compressed oxygen tank on the boat. So we're able to really get a lot of oxygen in that fish, make sure that he's healthy and very alive for the release.
Wow. So we are talking to Wade Kaminsky about catching the 112-pound catfish in the Mississippi River. Unfortunately, we need to take a break, but we are going to continue this conversation. A lot more to talk to with Wade about, and we are going to do that in this week's podcast exclusive. Don't forget, two podcasts of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors every week. We put out the show podcast on Friday and the podcast exclusive on Monday, and we are going to finish this talk with Wade about catching this fish in the podcast exclusive. So make sure you are checking that out. Right now, we got to take a break. And when we get back, we will talk to Jason Nelson and State Rep Nick Schroer. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Ones we can depend on.
back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, Bo Matthews, and Chad Ellis here with you. Don't forget, we were just talking to Wade Kaminsky about catching that big fish. If you want to hear the rest of the story, make sure you check out the podcast exclusive. We release two podcasts of Second Amendment Radio each and every week. You can get them just about anywhere that you get podcasts. I always recommend the radio.com app, which is free. You download it, favorite the radio station, then you can stream the station 24/7, rewind live radio, and download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. We release the show podcast on Fridays and the podcast exclusive on Mondays, and we're going to finish up that story with Wade on the podcast exclusive, so make sure you are checking that out. In just a moment here, we are going to talk to our buddy Nick Schroer and Jason Nelson about a great show coming up, an outdoor show in O'Fallon, Illinois, and anytime we're outside or talking about the great outdoors, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They're your full-service firearm shop, or what they like to call a firearm concierge. Go on in and introduce yourself, and they will find or create what you are looking for at Razorback Armory. On Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270, online at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Great stuff. And as I mentioned, joining us now on the line is Jason Nelson, the front man of Somebody to Love, the great Queen tribute show. I am so looking forward to this show. I'm so glad to be talking about live local music coming back to the St. Louis area. It's one of the industries that's been hit so hard by this pandemic. Jason, only got a couple of minutes here, so thanks for your time, as always, and tell folks how they can come out and experience some great live local music this week.
Well, first off, thanks for having me, Tony and Bo. This coming week, Thursday, July 16, I'm looking at the forecast, and it's a great evening for live music outdoors at O'Day Park Amphitheater. Now, this place, it's like 2 years old, the brand new park. I think it's the newest one in St. Charles County, but I may be wrong on that. But it's beautiful.
We'll say it is.
A lot of space to spread out. O'Day Park Amphitheater,
yes.
And it's off of Double D, or as some folks may know it, Wing Haven Boulevard.
Okay. So
Somebody to Love is going to hit the stage at 6:30 p.m., play till 9 p.m., so
wow.
Family-friendly, free to the public. They have food vendors. If you want to get a little boozy, that's available too.
I was waiting for you to say the word free on top of it all. A great night to get outside, bring the family, enjoy some great live music, and it's all free. And Jason, where's the best place to follow the band and get more information online?
You find us on our social media platforms. They're all Somebody to Love, a tribute to Queen.
Great stuff. I will be there this coming Thursday at O'Day Park in O'Fallon. I hope to see everyone out there as well. You can get all the details on my Twitter at TonyColombo971. I have the show information pinned to the top of my Twitter profile if you're looking for details as well. Jason, thanks for your time, my friend, and we will see you Thursday night in O'Fallon. Somebody to Love, the Queen tribute. Can't wait.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You bet. And now switching gears quickly to our friend Newsmaker Nick. Representative Nick Schroer joins us on the line for the rest of the show. Always great to talk to you, sir. Nick, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. We had a very successful week with the governor signing our big crime bill package. And there's also news that we may be going back on crime control and violent crime for a special session either this month or next.
Wow. Okay. So this is exactly why I wanted to talk to you today, because, the world is crazy right now. There's a lot of, there's a lot of new rules and regulations being put in. A lot of people are very concerned about crime, you know, with some of the social unrest that we've seen in our area and around the country. And as you just mentioned, a crime bill was just signed here in the state of Missouri earlier this week. I know that you were the House sponsor of that bill. Can you tell us about the crime bill that Missouri just signed and the details that are in it?
Yeah, initially the bill started off in the House and the Senate. We had our own versions, but initially they were the exact same on armed criminal action. And what that means is using a weapon, in our case, we concentrated on firearms, using a firearm in the commission of a felony, of a deadly felony. So what we did is added that to the categories of dangerous felonies, meaning if you're convicted of this or you plead guilty to a armed criminal action, you would have to serve at least 85% of your sentence before you're back out on the streets. I also, in working with the prosecutors, I created a new, category of felons. You know, somebody who's already a felon, they break the law again. They shouldn't have a weapon to begin with, but they break the law again to get a gun, and then they use it in the commission of another dangerous felony. They're going to be treated a little bit differently and harsher than somebody who, you know, did it one time. It was their first crime. Along with that, we concentrated on vehicle hijacking, carjackings. Criminal street gangs was another one that Mary Elizabeth Coleman from Jefferson County, she included in that bill. But basically, we're zeroing in on the most violent and habitual offenders, those that, you know, did not learn their lesson the first, second, or third times, that are repeat offenders, the most violent in our society. A couple things that got left out that the governor definitely wants us to come back on are more bipartisan pieces. I know the police residency bill that's been plaguing the city in St. Louis and Kansas City for many years, making it to where it's very difficult for them to recruit. The repeal of that is going to be one that you'll definitely see in a special session. A couple bills of mine dealing with juveniles using firearms in commissions of deadly felonies that we needed to update our laws. And some of the witness protection stuff, either witness tampering and trying to prevent a witness from coming in to testify in a big case, or witness protection programs, people that are in fear of their lives. Those are things that mayors in St. Louis and Kansas City both indicated need to be done.
Go ahead, Bo.
And Nick, do you feel that you are getting good traction on these bipartisan issues as well as you're moving forward? I mean, you're keeping up the good fight, and we appreciate that. But do you feel like these are realistic goals that you can hit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the big lift, and it's odd that the most contentious parts got done before the parts that I think were a little bit easier to get done. I know with the armed criminal action and the criminal street gangs and even the vehicle hijacking, we had organizations, even though only two Democrats in the Senate out of 30-something senators, only two Democrats voted against it in the Senate. We did have some Republicans and Democrats stand up against this because there was a fiscal note issue saying we would need to build two new prisons, which the Post-Dispatch, out of all people, kind of debunked that or later in the week. I think it was Thursday when they came out with their story. But if you think back to 2017-18, when I had my big push on the criminal justice reform, the juvenile justice bill, that was the same allegation that we needed to build two new juvenile justice facilities, and that was debunked back then. But yeah, I think coming back into special session, depending on what the governor calls, if it's just crime-related, we're going to have to siphon out the Democrat calls for gun control, like we always see in these special sessions, or very controversial things such as defunding the police. That's not going to happen in our state, and I'll make sure that that's not going to happen in our state. But, you know, I think on the wide front, when you look at it, big picture, I think those are things that are definitely going to get done that I mentioned that have support from the leaders in Kansas City and St. Louis, both Democrats. But they've worked with us to figure out, okay, we're not getting gun control done, but what can we get done? And these are some items that I think are definitely going to get to the governor's desk.
Talking to Representative Nick Schroer, only got a couple of minutes left. Want to get to a couple of questions if we can, kind of rapid fire style. I know that's not fair, Nick, but I appreciate you doing the best you can. You just mentioned defund the police. Of course, we also know that Democrats in Missouri and across the country are always looking to limit Second Amendment rights, and it's something that you've been battling the entire time you've been there in Jeff City, fighting for Second Amendment rights and standing up for that community. Is there a renewed push with everything going on in this world? We've seen this big boom of gun sales. How serious are Missouri Democrats about trying to limit gun rights again and also do things like defund the police? We know that's happening in some of the bigger cities around the country. Are Missouri Democrats pushing for that type of legislation as well?
Well, I can tell you they're dead serious about repealing the Second Amendment and stripping away gun rights from law-abiding citizens. And I can tell you just from looking at the past couple sessions, and even now, on my big crime bill on Senate Bill 600, you know, the criticisms were out there. But when you ask, okay, what is your proposition? Because people, these bodies keep lining up in these Democrat-controlled cities. What is your proposition? And it always turns to gun control. So that's something that I will continue to kill time and time again. It's been proven not to work. More guns equal less crime. I know there's studies out there that we could talk about all day long. But the second part of that question with defunding the police, I know there were groups from the city, elected officials in the city of St. Louis, that met with the governor's office, and that's one of their top priorities is defunding the police. Mm-hmm. Now, when you ask them, you know, how do you define defund? Because when I look at Webster's Dictionary, it basically is very clear cut. Then they try to change the topic of, well, it's not necessarily defund. We meant just move some funding around. Well, either way, I think that that has been proven time and time again not to work, especially in these areas where we've got three of the top in the top 25 most dangerous and deadly cities time and time again in the top 25 in the entire nation. That is not going to work. Defunding the police is only going to make it worse.
Only about a minute to go with Representative Nick Schroer. Got one last one, Bo?
Yeah, I do. As far as the phrase defunding the police or dismantling the police, you're hearing all this in the narrative from the left. It's quite frightening. How close are you to law enforcement? Because I had lunch with former Sheriff Boyer and Sheriff Marshak last week, and it's almost like it's not even a real statement that's being said over and over and over. Would you agree, Nick?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Marshak's a friend of mine. I know we follow each other on social media. But yeah, I've got the endorsement of the police, the firefighters, first responders across this state. And it's because I've been a voice of reason. Yes, if we want to concentrate on the bad apples in any career, let's do that. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater and couple all these good men and women that serve and protect our state, protect our nation, and couple them with the bad ones. That is unfair.
Amen.
But yeah, that is totally, totally an unfair statement of defunding the police. Guess what? It's not going to happen here in the state of Missouri.
Nick, how do people follow you on social media?
Go to my website, Nick for Rep, all spelled out. You can get access to my Twitter, my Facebook. If you want to, you know, kill a couple hours and just look at the trolls, follow me, go to Twitter, Nick B. Schroer.
He is a good follow. I agree with that completely. That is Representative Nick Schroer. Thanks for your time, sir. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, God bless, gentlemen.
Yep. All right, we have got to wrap up the show, but don't forget about the podcast exclusive. It comes out Monday, each and every Monday, and we will continue our conversation that we had a little bit earlier with Wade Kaminsky about catching that 112-pound catfish in the Mississippi River. That is on the podcast exclusive this week, so don't miss it. Thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, Bo Matthews, and Chad Ellis here with you. Don't forget, we were just talking to Wade Kaminsky about catching that big fish. If you want to hear the rest of the story, make sure you check out the podcast exclusive. We release two podcasts of Second Amendment Radio each and every week. You can get them just about anywhere that you get podcasts. I always recommend the radio.com app, which is free. You download it, favorite the radio station, then you can stream the station 24/7, rewind live radio, and download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. We release the show podcast on Fridays and the podcast exclusive on Mondays, and we're going to finish up that story with Wade on the podcast exclusive, so make sure you are checking that out. In just a moment here, we are going to talk to our buddy Nick Schroer and Jason Nelson about a great show coming up, an outdoor show in O'Fallon, Illinois, and anytime we're outside or talking about the great outdoors, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They're your full-service firearm shop, or what they like to call a firearm concierge. Go on in and introduce yourself, and they will find or create what you are looking for at Razorback Armory. On Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270, online at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Great stuff. And as I mentioned, joining us now on the line is Jason Nelson, the front man of Somebody to Love, the great Queen tribute show. I am so looking forward to this show. I'm so glad to be talking about live local music coming back to the St. Louis area. It's one of the industries that's been hit so hard by this pandemic. Jason, only got a couple of minutes here, so thanks for your time, as always, and tell folks how they can come out and experience some great live local music this week?
Well, first off, thanks for having me, Tony and Bo. This coming week, Thursday, July 16, I'm looking at the forecast, and it's a great evening for live music outdoors at O'Day Park Amphitheater. Now, this place, it's like 2 years old, the brand new park. I think it's the newest one in St. Charles County, but I may be wrong on that. But it's beautiful.
We'll say it is.
A lot of space to spread out. O'Day Park Amphitheater.
Yes.
And it's off of Double D, or as some folks may know it, Wing Haven Boulevard.
So okay.
Somebody to Love is going to hit the stage at 6:30 p.m., play till 9 p.m., so
Wow. Family-friendly,
free to the public. They have food vendors. If you want to get a little boozy, that's available, too.
I was waiting for you to say the word free on top of it all. A great night to get outside, bring the family, enjoy some great live music, and it's all free. And, Jason, where's the best place to follow the band and get more information online?
You find us on our social media platforms. They're all Somebody to Love, a tribute to Queen.
Great stuff. I will be there this coming Thursday at O'Day Park in O'Fallon. I hope to see everyone out there as well. You can get all the details on my Twitter, at TonyColombo971. I have the show information pinned to the top of my Twitter profile if you're looking for details as well. Jason, thanks for your time, my friend, and we will see you Thursday night in O'Fallon. Somebody to Love, the Queen tribute. Can't wait.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You bet. And now, switching gears quickly to our friend, Newsmaker Nick. Representative Nick Schroer joins us on the line for the rest of the show. Always great to talk to you, sir. Nick, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. We had a very successful week with the governor signing our big crime bill package. And there's also news that we may be going back on crime control and violent crime for a special session either this month or next.
Wow. Okay. So this is exactly why I wanted to talk to you today, because, the world is crazy right now. There's a lot of, there's a lot of new rules and regulations being put in. A lot of people are very concerned about crime, you know, with some of the social unrest that we've seen in our area and around the country. And as you just mentioned, a crime bill was just signed here in the state of Missouri earlier this week. I know that you were the sponsor, the House sponsor of that bill. Can you tell us about the crime bill that Missouri just signed and the details that are in it?
Yeah, initially the bill started off in the House and the Senate. We had our own versions, but initially they were the exact same on armed criminal action. And what that means is using a weapon, in our case, we concentrated on firearms, using a firearm in the commission of a felony, of a deadly felony. So what we did is added that to the categories of dangerous felonies, meaning if you're convicted of this or you plead guilty to a armed criminal action, you would have to serve at least 85% of your sentence before you're back out on the streets. I also, in working with the prosecutors, I created a new, category of felons. Somebody who's already a felon, they break the law again. They shouldn't have a weapon to begin with, but they break the law again to get a gun, and then they use it in the commission of another dangerous felony, they're going to be treated a little bit differently and harsher than somebody who, did it one time, is their first crime. Along with that, we concentrated on vehicle hijacking, carjackings. Criminal street gangs was another one that Mary Elizabeth Coleman from Jefferson County, she included in that bill. But basically, we're zeroing in on the most violent and habitual offenders, those that, did not learn their lesson the first, second, or third times, that are repeat offenders, the most violent in our society. A couple things that got left out that the governor definitely wants us to come back on are more bipartisan pieces. I know the police residency bill that's been plaguing the city in St. Louis and Kansas City for many years, making it to where it's very difficult for them to recruit. The repeal of that is going to be one that you'll definitely see in a special session. A couple bills of mine dealing with juveniles using firearms in commissions of deadly felonies that we needed to update our laws. And some of the witness protection stuff, either witness tampering and trying to prevent a witness from coming in to testify in a big case, or witness protection programs, people that are in fear of their lives. Those are things that mayors in St. Louis and Kansas City both indicated need to be done.
Go ahead, Bo.
And Nick, do you feel that you are getting good traction on these bipartisan issues as well as you're moving forward? I mean, you're keeping up the good fight, and we appreciate that. But do you feel like these are realistic goals that you can hit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the big lift, and it's odd that the most contentious parts got done before the parts that I think were a little bit easier to get done. I know with the armed criminal action and the criminal street gangs and even the vehicle hijacking, we had organizations, even though only two Democrats in the Senate out of 30-something senators, only two Democrats voted against it in the Senate. We did have some Republicans and Democrats stand up against this because there was a fiscal note issue saying we would need to build two new prisons, which the Post-Dispatch, out of all people, kind of debunked that later in the week. I think it was Thursday when they came out with their story. But if you think back to 2017, 18, when I had my big push on the criminal justice reform, the juvenile justice bill, that was the same allegation that we needed to build two new juvenile justice facilities, and that was debunked back then. But yeah, I think coming back into special session, depending on what the governor calls, if it's just crime related, we're going to have to siphon out the Democrat calls for gun control, like we always see in these special sessions, or very controversial things such as defunding the police. That's mm-hmm. not going to happen in our state, and I'll make sure that that's not going to happen in our state. But you know, I think on the wide front, when you look at it, big picture, I think those are things that are definitely going to get done that I mentioned that have support from the leaders in Kansas City and St. Louis, both Democrats, but they've worked with us to figure out, okay, we're not getting gun control done, but what can we get done? And these are some items that I think are definitely going to get to the governor's desk.
Talking to Representative Nick Schroer, only got a couple of minutes left. Want to get to a couple of questions if we can, kind of rapid fire style. I know that's not fair, Nick, but I appreciate you doing the best you can. You just mentioned defund the police. Of course, we also know that Democrats in Missouri and across the country are always looking to limit Second Amendment rights, and it's something that you've been battling the entire time you've been there in Jeff City, fighting for Second Amendment rights and standing up for that community. Is there a renewed push with everything going on in this world? We've seen this big boom of gun sales. How serious are Missouri Democrats about trying to limit gun rights again and also do things like defund the police? We know that's happening in some of the bigger cities around the country. Are Missouri Democrats pushing for that type of legislation as well?
Well, I can tell you they're dead serious about repealing the Second Amendment and stripping away gun rights from law-abiding citizens. And I can tell you just from looking at the past couple sessions, and even now on my big crime bill, on Senate Bill 600, you know, the criticisms were out there. But when you ask, OK, what is your proposition? Because people, these bodies keep lining up in these Democrat controlled cities. What is your proposition? And it always turns to gun control. So that's something that I will continue to kill time and time again. It's been proven not to work. More guns equal less crime. I know there's studies out there that we could talk about all day long. But the second part of that question with defunding the police, I know there were groups from the city, elected officials in the city of St. Louis, that met with the governor's office, and that's one of their top priorities is defunding the police. Mm-hmm. Now, when you ask them, wow, you know, how do you define defund? Because when I look at Webster's Dictionary, it basically is very clear cut. Then they try to change the topic of, well, it's not necessarily defund. We meant just move some funding around. Well, either way, I think that has been proven time and time again not to work, especially in these areas where we've got three of the top 25 most dangerous and deadly cities time and time again in the top 25 in the entire nation. That is not going to work. Defunding the police is only going to make it worse.
Only about a minute to go with Representative Nick Schroer. Got one last one, Bo?
Yeah, I do. As far as the phrase defunding the police or dismantling the police, you're hearing all this in the narrative from the left. It's quite frightening. How close are you to law enforcement? Because I had lunch with former Sheriff Boyer and Sheriff Marshak last week, and it's almost like it's not even a real statement that's being said over and over and over. Would you agree, Nick?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Marshak's a friend of mine. I know we follow each other on social media. But yeah, I've got the endorsement of the police, the firefighters, first responders across this state, and it's because I've been a voice of reason. Yes, if we want to concentrate on the bad apples in any career, let's do that. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater and couple all these good men and women that serve and protect our state, protect our nation, and couple them with the bad ones. That is unfair.
Amen.
But yeah, that is totally an unfair statement of defunding the police. Guess what? It's not going to happen here in the state of Missouri.
Nick, how do people follow you on social media?
Go to my website, Nick Full Rep, all spelled out. You can get access to my Twitter, my Facebook. If you want to, you know, kill a couple hours and just look at the trolls, follow me. Go to Twitter, Nick B. Schroer.
He is a good follow. I agree with that completely. That is Representative Nick Schroer. Thanks for your time, sir. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, God bless, gentlemen.
Yep. All right, we have got to wrap up the show, but don't forget about the podcast exclusive. It comes out Monday, each and every Monday, and we will continue our conversation that we had a little bit earlier with Wade Kaminsky about catching that 112-pound catfish in the Mississippi River. That is on the podcast exclusive this week, so don't miss it. Thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.